this morning about the meaning of the number 22. There were 22 almonds in the lampstand, 4 in the central stem, and 3 each in the 6 branches. And the lampstand is a picture of the Lord, who is the light of the world. It's a picture of the Word of God. And the almond is the first tree to awaken out of winter sleep in the Holy Land. So it is known as the early awakener. And God's call to us is, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And we need to discern between good and evil. 22. 2 is the number of discerning, screening. 2 has many meanings. And 22 means we have to learn to rightly divide the word of truth as we look to the Lord for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to unfold the treasures that he has for you and me. And count-wise, we are in day 53. And it's good to be with you after a long time. And we have all been going through our testings and trials. And we were studying the last couple sessions on the 3 temptations of Jesus. And let me see if you remember. And I know you do. But in this section, how many references do we have to the 3 temptations in the New Testament? 3. And which is the shortest on the right hand? Which is the shortest of the accounts of the temptations? Mark. So let's turn to Mark tonight. Mark's gospel is a gospel of activity. And Mark is portraying Jesus as the servant. And you have more details about the 3 temptations in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. And for our friends who have come to join us, we may have to repeat a few things. And no harm in doing so. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now Mark is going to show us what happens, like Matthew and Luke, after Jesus was baptized. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness, how long? 40 days. Tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. And that's Mark's short account of the temptation. And while Alan and our sister and Brother Jason, they were singing that beautiful song that I love very much, the Spirit of God just quickened to me that Jesus was born among the beasts. And he rode a beast into Jerusalem that was not ridden before. And it's amazing as you study his life. Mark is the only gospel writer to tell us something that the others don't. I want to read it again. He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. You know, we are all guilty of reading too swiftly. But we need to slow down and think on what we are reading. Why is that put there? Why was he with the wild beasts? Did the creatures know who was there? I'm sure they knew. Did you know the creatures knew who came in that cradle in Bethlehem? The ox knoweth his master, and the donkey the master's crib, but my people Israel do not know. It's amazing, before a hurricane strikes or a tsunami, the animals flee for safety. And I tell you, we can learn from the animals. How about my reading you a verse, if I can find it, from the book of Job. And it's a verse we can all profit from. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 12, verse 7. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord has wrought this? Maybe you never saw that before. And if you did, it's only a confirmation. So the beasts can teach us. The fishes can teach us. The fowls of the air can teach us. When you read the book of Revelation, you have birds and you have beasts and you have fishes. How about you trying to locate birds, fishes, and beasts in the book of Revelation? And once you locate those creatures, that is God's way of giving us truth in symbol. We have to know what each symbol represents. So all the time God is talking to us, beloved, but we are too slow to perceive. And we need to pray like the psalmist, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Unless he opens our eyes, we can't see. Unless he opens our ears, we can't hear. So, Jesus is about to die, and they were singing that beautiful song. And may I tell you, he's dying between two beasts. You say, how could that be? How could that be? Because man without God is as a beast that perishes. Come on. The Word of God says that. Now, isn't that something? Jesus did not need a bodyguard or guns to defend himself. Mark only gives us a short sentence. And I'm going to add one more thought, seeing we never touched Mark much except Matthew, and then we went into Luke briefly. The animals were there when man sinned. Where was Adam in the garden? He was with the beasts, and he gave names to them. But now comes not the second Adam, but the last Adam. You know what? We've all made some mistakes to call Jesus the second Adam. I've read books where many great preachers call Jesus the second Adam. Not so. If he were the second Adam, he was second in a series of failures. But instead, he's called the last Adam. Why? Because he came to undo the failures of the first man. Adam is called the first man. Jesus is called the second man. Is that true or not? Well, the first man headed the natural creation. The second man, through death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, heads the new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The first man was tempted, and the second man will be tempted. And It is possible the animals saw the fall of man. But now, can you imagine how they must have been rejoicing that one came into human history to lift up their fallen condition? For the sin of man not only jeopardized the human race, the sin of man endangered the animal creation and the whole creation. And the whole creation is groaning and is in travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And creation is groaning. And the Holy Spirit is groaning. And we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we're groaning for what? The redemption of the body. When the curse will be lifted from off the earth. So, if man is blessed, the creatures are blessed. If man is not blessed, the creatures are not blessed. And Isaiah spoke of the time when the wolf and the lamb shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. For that to happen, there must come to pass a change in their lifestyle. If God can change man, he can change the beast as well. You know, in the book of Daniel, there's a man that was a tyrant and a dictator. And he was warned by God more than once. But like many, who is his God? Until he heard one day, the kingdom is taken from thee, O Nebuchadnezzar. And thou shalt make thy dwelling with the beasts. And let a beast's heart be given unto him. My. When I was a young Christian, I didn't know what that meant, except I thought, what? Did this man become a beast? I didn't know that although he was a man, he was going to crawl on all fours. Like when the child is young, you know, you see them creeping on their hands and feet. And he was going to eat grass like the beasts of the field. And why? To humble him. Bring him to the end of himself. But was there a man praying for him? A man who warned him? I'm sure he and his three friends prayed for that man. And God in mercy caused the dew to fall on his head. Why is that put there? The dew fell on his head. We see the dew falling every morning almost. But the dew is the secret, silent work of the Holy Spirit, working on the head to bring conviction. For when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will do certain things. He'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Well, you can't come to the Lord except the Spirit draws you. We were seeing that. We did not just come to the altar all by ourselves. No man can come unto me except the Father. Draw him. So, eventually this man was set free and his understanding returned. But that man is a picture of the whole human race. Adam was a king in the Garden of Eden. He had dominion over all the creatures. And God would have extended that dominion did he not sin. And what a great loss that was. And man without God is as a beast that perisheth. So we see the bestiality of man in our society today. Look at this set of atrocities in the Middle East with a group that wants to kill Christians And even if you belong to the same faith as they have, they kill you if you don't agree with it. How many of us are not horrified to see what is taking place? I don't know how long God's going to hold back his wrath. It's the prayers of the saints that are holding back the judgments from falling on the earth, including our own land that has turned away from God. Let's bombard heaven with our prayers, beloved. Because if ever we needed help, it's now. Don't be led astray by what you see or hear. We need spiritual discernment. And God wants to help us. But later on, we read of a beast. And something happened to this lion. Let a man's heart be given him. In one scripture, let a beast's heart be given a man. In the next scripture, let a man's heart be given to this lion. Well, which nation is symbolized by the lion? The British. And at one time, they controlled a good part of the earth. But where did we come into existence? Daniel saw this lion with eagle's wings until the eagle's wings were plucked off and it stood on its feet. That was the independence of America, symbolized by the eagle, the breaking away from the mother country. All of that is there and much more than I can give you. That's how the deep word of God is. Hallelujah. Praise God. And unto the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into her place, where she'll be nourished for a time and times and half a time. Oh, we read those things, we don't understand them. But if we're in the time of the end, knowledge shall increase, many shall run to and fro. And the path of the justice as a shining light that groweth more and more unto the perfect day, then God's going to open this book. For the saints, the wise shall understand, but none of the wicked shall understand. And this wisdom can only be imparted by the Holy Spirit, who is called the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Without him, the book is a closed book. After all, who inspired the book, beloved? The Holy Spirit. Who is to open up the book? The same Holy Spirit. All right. Well, we took a little detour, but let's come back to the main track. Britain became more humane in her dealings with her colonies. I was born in a country that was under the rule of the British, and I thank God for it. We may criticize them for all we want, but you know what? They took the gospel into these places. I remember going to school, and we never started out without prayer and singing a hymn, hearing the scriptures read, and whether you're Muslim, Hindu, or whatnot, if you're going to high school, you had to do a subject called religious knowledge. And that meant you study either Matthew or Mark or Luke and the book of Acts. Try to do that today in our society. See what happens. But back in those days, we didn't have the crime and all the wickedness that went along with it. So all the negative criticisms of the British, and we've all sinned and come short of God's glory, and every nation has its strengths and weaknesses. Let's thank God that they took the gospel. Mahatma Gandhi loved to hear the hymn, "When I Surveyed a Wondrous Cross." He sought to pattern his lifestyle after Jesus Christ. But you see, you can't imitate the Christ life. And if you try to live the Sermon on the Mount, you will end up in disaster. The Sermon on the Mount can only be lived out by the Christ who lived it out, and now he wants to live it out in you and in me. So I say, the British became more humane towards their dependencies. Nebuchadnezzar, he said, my understanding returned unto me. Now I bow my knee to the Most High. He gives us his conversion testimony in the 4th chapter of Daniel. You can read for yourselves. Well, we too are bestial, beloved. But how many of us rejoice tonight that the Lord took our place? We were Barabbas. Bar-Abba or Abbas means son of a father. You are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. So how do we become children of the devil? That's a very good question. The devil is called the father of what? Lies. So when you believe the lie, what happens? You become a child of the one who fabricated that lie. And because they receive not the love of the truth, what will happen? God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That's why we see the trouble in this land and elsewhere. Who wants to hear about Jesus in the Bible? But in spite of that, our prayers are going to be heard. If they're not heard, they're being stored up in vials. The elders are in charge of the vials in heaven. And the angel that ministers at the altar of incense is not Michael or Gabriel. Mm-mm. That's a picture of the Lord himself. He's our high priest. He's the angel of the covenant in Malachi. The word means a messenger. And it is he who takes the incense and mingles it with the prayers. The incense speaks of the infinite worth and merits of the Lamb of God. Without his merits, our prayers don't avail anything. By him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, giving to him the fruit of our lips, rendering thanks unto his name. So our high priest is awaiting the time to answer these prayers. And that's a whole subject in itself. But I believe the time is upon us when fire from the incense altar in heaven is going to be cast on the earth. And God is going to set a series of events that will wrap up this age. But the saints have a part to play. And the saints must be found every day at the altar of incense, worshiping him and praising him. And so I say, as we look at the scriptures, Jesus is with the wild beasts. And the creatures know the Creator. Only Mark tells us that. Because the first man was with the beasts, and they did not harm him. And may I tell you again, Jesus was not tempted as God. God cannot be tempted, yet he's both God and man in one. But we can't scrutinize that. That's a mystery. But he had to be a man, else he couldn't help us in every sense of the word. But the devil didn't come and say, if you're the Son of Man, command these stones to become bread. If you're the Son of Man, jump off from the pinnacle of the temple. Did he? What did he say? If thou be there? Ah. Did he not hear the words? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In other words, you are the Son of God. Suppose you show me your power. a lot of people think that in the ministry we are here to show off power. Not so. What's the use? We got all the power. We have no wisdom behind it. Christ is not only the power of God. Christ is what? The wisdom of God. That's the trouble with the nations. Iran is soon to become nuclear. And why do they want this firepower? Is it to benefit the human race? Is it to help their own nation? No. They have an evil plot in mind. When they shall say peace and safety, what happens? Watch out and see if God's word is true or the media is true. And man will end up using nuclear weapons, though we don't want to see it or hear it. It's there prophesied. World War III is prophesied in the Bible. The sword shall come the third time. What's that? It came two times. The instrument of war, it will come the third time. You see, my friends, everything we need to know, God has put it right here. Trouble is, we read it and we are still blind until God opens our eyes. Zechariah saw it, that these end time armies are going to perish and their eye sockets are going to melt. And the same will happen to their horses. How can you explain that when you didn't live in the time when the A-bomb and the H-bomb were discovered? That is the result of nuclear war, my friends. Isaiah describes it, the heat with the shadow of a cloud. Have you heard of the mushroom cloud? So we see the bestiality of man wanting to kill his fellow man. But the Christian is not looking for that. The Christian stands in the gap for people to be saved and changed. And Jesus Christ must come to our rescue, because none of us could stand up to Satan. And the Spirit, only Mark says it, driveth him into the wilderness. That meant he didn't plan to go there of his own. But the urge was there, and he obeyed the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I said to you before, we can court temptation by going where we shouldn't go and doing what we shouldn't do. That's why he said, when you pray, lead us not into, but from evil. In other words, we can be led into temptation by our own will. But Lord, save me from going on doing what I want. And deliver us from what? That can be translated, and deliver us from the evil one. Who is the evil one? We read about him in Isaiah 14. Five times, I will be. He perverted his will. He corrupted his wisdom. And he claims to have all the kingdoms of this world. How did he get it? Jesus didn't dispute with him. He said, all you have to do is fall down and worship me, and all of these kingdoms will be yours. But how did he get it? By trickery. He did not get it legally. He deceived the woman. And Eve and Adam went along with her. So Adam surrendered his dominion and gave it over to the enemy. On the other hand, Jesus is going to conquer the enemy and reclaim what was lost. The Son of Man is come to do what? That which was lost. What was lost? The first dominion. That has more than one meaning. And the lost dominion was taken over by Satan, and now the prince of this world, or the common G-O-D of this world, is going to meet his rival. And who's going to win the battle? Well, we can't repeat all the temptations, but we said Jesus was tempted in his body and in his soul and in his spirit. It goes back to the temptations in the garden. And for those who could not hear those, we will suggest that you get a copy of the tape. And we have that wonderful scripture, the God of peace, sanctify your holy, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord. The food appetite, turn these stones into bread. Cast yourself from the pinnacle of the temple so people will see your power. And the last one was the pride of life. In other words, bow down and worship me and all will be yours. And if that is so, then Jesus doesn't need to go to the cross. Come on. If he compromises with Satan, will he have to go to the cross? I want to show you how Satan operates. The same man who confessed Jesus by the Spirit, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the same man. When he heard Jesus saying that he would go to the cross, the same man said, be it far from thee. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but be of man. Satan put the thought in Peter's mind to get Jesus off the cross. But Jesus knew what must be done. And when you get to the highest point of his ministry, when he was transfigured, and by the way, the transfiguration did not take place on some dusty street. And I believe, though the Bible doesn't tell us, it was Mount Hermon that wears a crown of snow all year round. Why did the transfiguration take place on a snow-white mountain? It's a good question. And without going into that, all I wanted to point out was that after Jesus was transfigured, he had a choice up that mountain. And we don't see it this way, neither did I see it for many years, that although he's in the height of ecstasy and he's full of glory, he has a choice up that mountain. Right then and there, he could have gone back to the Father. Only a man that is glorified can ascend into the heavens. But would he go back and go alone, or would he come down the mountain, go to the cross, to help the human race? How many of you are thankful that he didn't stay up the mount? He came down the mount. So you see how temptations can meet you when you least expect it. One day he told the 12, he said, you are they that have continued with me in my temptations, plural. The devil departed from him for a season, but he kept on coming. And if he couldn't succeed with the Lord, he would use others to come against the Lord. Maybe we could say the greatest battle of all was the Garden of Gethsemane. And I have to take the shoes off my feet when I read that. I've heard many messages, read many books, but I don't think anyone can fully grasp the immensity of the agony in that garden. One verse is given in the book of Hebrews, and please permit me to read it for you. And even this verse, we can't fully explain. I see my own limitations. Maybe some of you can help me locate it. Hebrews 5. Yes, thank you. I see some of my brothers are wrestling with it themselves. Hebrews 5, 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. That verse is so dynamic, enough books and messages haven't been printed to explore the depths of that verse. So I'm saying to you, it cost the Son of God much to redeem us. Creation didn't cost God anything much. He spoke and it was done. But redemption came through blood and sweat and tears. And may we not take that lightly. He was heard that in that he feared. Literally, he prayed to him who was able to save him out of death. But he was not to be saved out of death. He will be saved by going through death. And the word exodus is a beautiful word. Maybe we don't know what it means. But when the two men, Moses and Elijah, came and spoke with him, they spoke with him about what he would do on the cross, his exodus. The word for death is exodus. And Jesus would face up to death, go into death, go through death, and come out of death more than a conqueror. Moses brought about the first exodus. Elijah's spiritual exodus, when he called fire from heaven down to earth, and the people turned away from Baal to the true and living God. But the greatest exodus from sin and Satan and all effects could only come through a greater than Moses and a greater than Elijah. But let us not take this salvation lightly. So Satan is offering Jesus a shortcut. Team up with me, and all will be yours. The Lord said, get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So that's the highest part Jesus was tempted in. That is in his spirit. God is spirit. They who worship him must worship him in spirit, with our spirit. We are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Our spirit joined to God's spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's the unity God seeks. And Jesus' spirit would not bow down to that wicked spirit. He wanted Jesus to show off his power, make a name for yourself, be a Superman. Jesus would not tempt his Father. God does not tempt us, he tries us, but Satan tempts us. There are two words for temptation. One is a word that means to tempt with the object of the tempted failing. The other means to be put to the test so that you become stronger in the test than before. And whenever it's used of God, it's the second word. God doesn't tempt us, but he tries us to make us stronger in the faith. Satan tempts us to make us failures. So Jesus would not be contaminated in the soul realm. Neither would he be tempted to make bread out of stones. But did you know, after the resurrection, when the disciples, hungry after catching nothing, came to the shore, they found a coal of fire and bread and fish upon it. There is no end to the mysteries in the Word of God. But Jesus would only do what he has to do when his will is one with the Father. You see, that's what he told them. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I'm learning to pray that. Lord, I only have one consuming passion, to do your will. And as I put it out the other night, The will of God, nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. Have we come there yet? Another scripture says, I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is written in the tablet of my heart. The same must be said of us, beloved, because he gives us grace now to go this way. We couldn't do it in ourselves. So Jesus conquered in the body realm, in the soul realm, and in the realm of the spirit. And why? So that that prayer will become a reality for you and me when we come into the fullness of salvation. You see, in my early days, I thought you're either saved or lost. That was my concept of salvation. You're either saved or you're lost. And in a sense, that is true. We have the lost and the saved. That's true. But I didn't know that salvation is a process. And the Bible speaks of salvation in the past tense, salvation in the present tense, and salvation in the future tense. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we are yet to be saved. If we were fully saved, we would not be sitting here on those pews, living on the earth plane. But Paul said one time in the scripture, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Why did he do it? That they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Amen. That's the full salvation. Peter speaks of a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What salvation? Full salvation. How many of us are yearning to be fully saved? How many of you have noticed, dear friends? And I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm not here with any holier-than-thou attitude. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And I love the brethren, and I want to be a servant to all of you who have ministered to me in so many ways. Did you know this is the only place I've had close to 40 years that will tolerate my preaching, unless I go to my friends in Brooksville. You know, I traveled through quite a few churches, but folks don't love to hear truth. They want to be entertained. Well, the days for entertainment are over. It's good to sing the praises of God. I'm not against that. And Brother Lester, thank you for singing. If nobody appreciated it, I did. And the message in the song. It's not only the song, but the message. And listen, we may not always sound correct, but it's what comes from the heart. And as I've told some of you, you can't sing. Don't worry about it. Make a joyful noise. The Lord will get it. Praise God. We're not condemning choirs. We're not condemning singers. But it's time that the church realizes that if we don't have a message and we're only entertaining, we've missed the purpose. What right that as Christians we got to have Grammy Award and this award and that award? Are we competing with Hollywood? Come on, tell me. You know what has happened, my friends? We have built a golden calf and we are worshiping it. That's when we cater to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And God is raising up ministers to put the axe at the root of the tree. We have to get rid of those idols. Because it's the truth that will set us free. And people don't want truth. They say they want truth. They want the traditions of men. But what is highly esteemed in the eyes of men is abomination in the eyes of God. The Word of God says that. And if you want truth, you'll pay a big price for it. I've paid a price for truth. And I'm not in the popularity contest or the who's who in America. I'm dead to that. I just want to be a vessel that is clean and pure to become an instrument of righteousness in the hands of God. That should be your desire as well. God is not only after one man, he's after a corporate man. Come on. Well, the Holy Spirit is taking over. Forget books and notes and all the rest. There comes a time when we got to allow the Spirit to flow in through and out of us. We are at the threshold of this great move of God, despite all the wickedness we see and all the things that are wrong. There's a people that are about to be caught up to the throne realm. And though some of you may not agree, but I know most of you do, but whether we agree or not, one day we'll know the truth about it. Amen. The man-child caught up to the throne is not the entire church. But a lot of people believe that. Then I had a friend who was telling me, oh, that's the birth of Jesus. And that woman is the Virgin Mary. Is Revelation a book of the past, or is it a book about things to come? And I said, well, after Jesus was born, was he caught up to the throne? Was he raptured? He had to live on this earth for how long? 33 and a half years. But you see, we swallow tradition and we believe it. And because it came from this brother and that sister, guess what? God has to show us. Do you want truth or you want fables? You want to be entertained? Or do you see the need to have your eyes open to discern what God is saying? Strong meat, solid food belongs to them who are of age, whose senses, that is their spiritual senses, have been exercised to discern between good and evil. May God make us that kind of people. And put me to the test, too. If I'm not lifting up Jesus Christ, if I'm not giving you the word of God, amen, then check me up. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And he that loveth the light cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. I want to come to the light, and every day, shed your light on me, Lord. If I have a wrong thought, let it be removed. If I have a wrong emotion, let it be removed. Yes. Search me, O God, and we were singing that earlier today. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way. Not in Tom, Dick, and Harry. Not my neighbor. It's me, Lord, in the need of prayer. And if there be, Lord, remove it. We must come under the inspection gaze of the Lord every day so that there is no barrier in our union and our communion with him. So Jesus overcomes. May I give you a beatitude on the temptation? It's not in the Gospels. It's not in Revelation. There are seven beatitudes in Revelation. Seek and you will find. Turn to the book of James, my good friend, Brother Allen. Read for the congregation, please. James 1 and verse 12.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Well, let's put the Lord Jesus Christ to the test as far as his temptations were concerned. When it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that means he can't escape it, he has to go through it. But the other part might not be clear. It doesn't mean when he's tried and that's it, no. The word means when he has been approved, put to the test and passed the test. But reading it in the King James Version, you don't get that. So I'm telling it to you now that you go and check it out. When he has been put to the test and has been approved, then what will he get? The crown of life. Now, that's a hard one to explain. What is the crown of life? You see, it's one thing to have life. It's another thing to have more abundant life. But it's something else to have the crown of life. But it's only given to those who have come through their temptations. How many temptations did Israel face? I didn't go into them, but I told you that there were 10 of them. And when they reached number 10, God said, all who have grumbled and complained will perish in the wilderness. But did that affect everybody? Or was there an exception? Who survived the wilderness without being put to death? Joshua and Caleb. And get ready for this. And the whole tribe of Levi. The Levites were not counted for war. You must search the scriptures, beloved. Levi means joined. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. God always has a remnant when the majority have gone astray. So when this man shall is caught up to the throne, something happens. A voice is heard in heaven. Don't open your Bibles. Let me see who can tell me what comes after. They're caught up to the throne, and this is not a one man that is caught up. This is a corporate company of people. A voice is heard from heaven. What is the voice saying? Now is come what? Stop right there. If you've been already saved, how now comes salvation? What kind of salvation? Brother said it right. Now has come the full salvation, which would mean glorification, which would mean translation to the throne realm. You see, my friends, we can't argue this. People spent, one man said a wise statement that blessed me. Brother Ravenhill used to put out a paper called The Dayspring from on High. A missionary friend loaned me a copy. And there's an article by him or someone else. And here was a quotation. Men lose their sanctification by arguing over sanctification. And we can lose our sanctification by arguing with a brother who differs with us on pre-trip, mid-trip, post-trip. It doesn't matter what you label it. I say, whether we agree or not, are we found like Enoch, walking with God and pleasing God? There are qualifications for translation, but people don't know that. You sow the seed, you get the blade, then the ear, then what else? So when it's time to reap, please tell me. If we got common understanding, are you coming after blades?
No.
Are you coming after ears?
No.
What are you coming for? The husbandman has long patience and waits for the precious fruit of the earth until he send the early and the latter rain. Here's something else I discovered. They don't reap the whole harvest in the Bible lands. They have an order in reaping. There's the first fruits. Then there's the rest of the harvest. And there are gleanings for the poor and the needy.
Thank you.
If you understand that, the harvest is the end of the age, and you're going to see how God's going to reap his people. Not all in one sweep. We're putting our Western mentality into the scriptures. We got to see how things were done and are being done until today in the Bible lands. It takes more heat to ripen wheat. And when wheat ripens, it dries and it's dead towards the earth. It bows its head. Hallelujah. But it is good to observe before wheat comes the barley, and the barley ripens under cold conditions. And because iniquity shall abound, Love of many shall wax cold. So there's a barley group of saints and there's a wheat group of saints. God will gather them, each man in his own order, but don't think he's going to gather everybody at one sweep. That's a mistake many have made. But let's get back to Jesus Christ. He is the barley bread as well as the wheat bread. Except the grain of wheat dies, it abides alone. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the what? First fruits of what harvest? Barley harvest. Barley ripens at springtime. And one of the feasts was a sheaf of the barley harvest waved by the priest on the morrow after the Sabbath. That's Jesus in resurrection, private ascension to the Father on resurrection day, and a descension on the same day to be handled and touched by his disciples. And a sheaf is a person. I want to give you that. That wasn't in my thoughts tonight to go there. You see, how do I know a sheaf is a person, one person? You go back to the dream of Joseph when he said, we were gathering sheaves, and my sheaf stood upright, and 11 sheaves bowed down to my sheaf. So if there was one sheaf that was exalted and the others had to bow down to this one sheaf, what is that telling us? That the sheaf is one individual. 11 sheaves, 11 brothers. One sheaf, Joseph. Joseph means God will add. Hallelujah. You ever wondered why Rachel had two sons? Why did she call the firstborn Joseph? It means God will add. God will give me another son. Well, Joseph represents the first fruits people, and Benjamin represents the second group of people. The two will come together as one. Be gathered unto the Lord, and when he comes back, he's coming back with those who were first gathered to him. Now, if you don't get that, that's okay. I don't have to defend God's word. It's a lion. That's right.
Hallelujah.
You know what has been wrong? I told this friend, and I've told most of you. You know where we've gone astray? We're trying to teach the word of God without knowing the patterns of truth in the Bible. And the patterns are all in the Old Testament. How many Christians spend time reading the Old Testament? They want the new, but they don't want the old. But on the other hand, Jesus said the man in a parable, he says, no man when he has drunk old wine desireth new. Why? He says the old is better. So the old ones don't want to hear anything new, but the new ones want to do away the old things. But the wise householder is a man who brings out of his treasure chest things both new and old. Old truths and new truths must come together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you really want truth, huh? Buy the truth and sell it now. You willing to pay that price? You willing to be criticized and called a heretic? Yes, it will cost you. But if you love Jesus Christ, you don't have to defend yourself. And you don't have to hold any bitterness towards anyone. God has helped me to see through the years, it's no use trying to argue with people. That's not getting us anywhere. We can present things to them and say, listen, as Paul says, consider what I say unto you. The Lord give you understanding in all things. Well, Jesus came out of the wilderness. Who is this that comes out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved? But there are two groups of people that come out of the wilderness in the Song of Solomon. One is in chapter 3 and one is in the latter part of the book. Like pillars of smoke with the perfumes of the merchant. We're not going to come out of the wilderness unless God has done something inside of us that we begin to smell with the fragrance of heaven. And the smoke is seen and the fire has done its work. We want to escape the wilderness. But why did he put them there? He brought them out that he might bring them in. 1 Corinthians 10, but with many of them, God was displeased. Is God pleased with the church today? Is Jesus weeping over the church? I believe he is. And we too shed tears when we see the pathetic condition of the saints of God and the divisions among us. I love what my brother prayed for us tonight. I'm so glad we have a little foretaste of this body of Christ in this assembly. In Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor barbarian nor Scythian, nor bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. And we don't look at one another's skin color.
That's right.
Oh, the red blood of Jesus coming in contact with our black hearts turns the black heart into a white heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus is the only answer for the race problem.
Amen.
And all other problems. But who wants Jesus Christ?
Amen.
But let's take our stand for him. And say, Lord, give me the grace to go through and endure temptation. Because he has a crown of life to the ones that endure unto the end. This is not talking about the initial gift of salvation. There's a day of rewards. There are different rewards, the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. There are various crowns in the Bible which we can go into right now. So what is the crown of life to those who endure the temptation? I can't claim to understand everything because I only know in part. But I believe Jesus left the wilderness having defeated Satan with greater power and authority than when he went there. And the source of his strength was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit anointed him for that ministry. He read it in the synagogue. Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do it. How about the Spirit of the Lord anointing you and me to do what we have to do? Maybe you're just a cook. People tend to look down on that. Maybe you're a housewife. Listen, do it as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Whatever you have to do, do it with all your might. And trust the Holy Spirit to help you with that job. That's the secret to overcoming. And he will give you the crown of life. I'll suggest a thought. I can't answer the question. We do not see all things under man yet, but we see Jesus. The book of Hebrews says, how do we see Jesus? Crowned with glory and honor. Glory and honor. That the trying of your face, being much more precious than perishable gold, may be found unto what? Praise, honor, and glory. My. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Let's remember that. Never mind how you're suffering. Dear Sister Jean, God bless you. And some of us who've gone through some turbulent times. How many of us are glad tonight we have an high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmity? And you know what? We never know what others are going through unless we go there ourselves. So maybe you don't know why you're going through this, but God is making you compassionate that you can show his love and grace towards others. We're so quick to criticize by the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear. And we're not suffering only for ourselves. Paul said he was bearing in his body the marks of Jesus, but he said that he was bearing some sufferings to fill up the sufferings of Christ. Some of us are called to suffer for him in more than one way. And affliction is only for a time, but it is working not against us, it's working for us. What is it working for us? An exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Now that is so powerful, it will take a whole book to explain. Not just glory, an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. My, what tremendous words. And as we've borne the image of the earthy, what will happen? We shall bear the image of the heavenly. So the crown of life is life on the highest plane of existence. If you don't agree with me, I still love you. Amen? Jesus is crowned with glory and honor. He had more glory than on the Mount of Transfiguration. That was only for a moment. But now he's in glory that can't fade. He's begotten us to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in the heavens. Have we come there yet? Well, we have some enduring to do. Jesus came out. He can help us. And he came through the cross. He came through all those temptations. God has highly exalted him. Amen? Well, if his people follow in his footsteps, what a day that will be as he welcomes Stephen into the heavenly realm when Stephen laid down his life. We may not have to lay down our lives like Stephen, but if we have to, he will give us the grace when the time comes. You know, as a little boy, there were some ditches that we used to jump across. But in the pasture area, there were some cows, and at times some of them could come charging at you. Some ditches you could cross over, but some you wouldn't dare to cross because you know you couldn't do it. But let a cow pursue you. You get wings on your feet. Well, I'm saying this to tell you, don't worry about how you're going to become a martyr. You're a martyr right now. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my what? The word there means martyrs. So there are two kinds of martyrs, the living ones and the dying ones. Now our hearts go out to all the Christians who have been driven out of their homes. And if one of us suffer, what? And if one of us rejoice, we all rejoice. The one that endures, having been put to the test and been approved by God, not he who commendeth himself is approved. Help me with the rest. But he whom the Lord commendeth. How does the Lord commend you when he says to you, well done. Now how much done? Not the quantity, but the quality. Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? I never knew you. You were doing it in the flesh for your glory. That's not an easy scripture to explain. The day will tell whether we were building with gold, silver, and precious stones or with wood, hay, and stubble. That's why now we should live to please the Lord. Amen? Now is the time to do our repenting, beloved. And I see my own need to do what Micah said. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. No flesh will glory in his presence. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So what is the crown of life awaiting us if we come through the temptations victoriously? It's life on the highest plane of existence, which is not this realm, but it's the realm that Abraham was looking for. You don't read it in Genesis. Did you hear what I just said? It takes a New Testament to give a commentary on the Old Testament. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And the Bible ends with a city. It begins with a garden, but it ends up with a city. Oh, right there you got a whole year, if not more years, to sift through. God begins in a small way, but look at Jesus. He shall see the travail of his soul. Will he be dissatisfied or satisfied? Imagine the day when he sees so many burst into his image to share the throne with him. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. Notice that. The promises are not to them that believe, to him that overcometh. So how do you overcome? Through the Spirit and with the overcomer helping you and me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So no flesh is going to take any credit. You ever wondered why the elders, and allow me to speak because I'm not speaking here through some textbook. We must get ready for God to invade and pervade our services and not be shocked like the people in a time when Zechariah was late coming out. And you know what they said? Maybe he's seen a vision. Maybe an angel has appeared to him. We want to start at 10 o'clock and finish at 11. I understand time is still a problem. But when God gets ready to visit us, time will become a servant and not a master. The crown of life, life on the highest plane of existence, which is not the earthly, but the heavenly. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, beloved, how are we facing our temptations? Are we running away from them? Or are we going through them? And are we looking to Jesus for strength? Lord, you went this way. You can sympathize with me. Inasmuch he has suffered being tempted, he's able also to succor or come to the help of all who are tempted. Amen? I love that promise in James 1 and verse 12. Time forbids me to go into the 10 temptations in Israel. If the Lord leads, I'll give it to those of you who can come back to show you how what they had to overcome, we have to overcome as well. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fiery furnace, and all the fire did was what? Loose their bonds. And can you imagine them walking in the fire with no smell of smoke? My. Look at Brother Job. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. I'm not pure gold yet. I still see a lot of clay. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And we're learning to lean on the everlasting arms. Oh, Lord, help my brothers and sisters. You have faced losses and griefs and sorrows, but Jesus is the balm in Gilead. Hallelujah. He's the one that Brother Lester was singing about. The man on the Jericho road that had the wine and the oil for the wounds of the wounded. Wherever you're hurting tonight, I pray the Lord will come and visit you with the oil of his Spirit and the wine of his cleansing blood, as well as the wine of joy, to give us beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That we might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. That he might be glorified. Amen.